Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. I want to talk about an organization that you might or might not be familiar with and an opportunity to hear the person from that organization who's going to be coming to Columbia next Tuesday evening and be speaking at the Boone County Government Center Chambers. Until I was given an opportunity to pursue this and to investigate it a bit more, I had never heard of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Ellen Thomas is with that group, and she's on the phone with us this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Let's talk about the organization first, because I've got the website pulled up. It's kind of interesting. Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. When did this get developed? And let's start with that. Tell me about the history of this organization.
Well, it's 102 years old, and if you've heard of a woman named Jane Addams, she's one of the co-founders that we honor. And it began back around the time of the First World War when women rose up and said, we don't want our sons and husbands to be killed, and brothers. And so we've been fighting war ever since. And it's a wonderful organization. It's international. There's branches or sections all over the world, and I'm co-chair of the Disarm and Wars Committee of the U.S. section. And the way that it's organized is that there are branches around the country. There are individuals such as myself who don't live near branches but can get involved by belonging to committees, and that's what I've done. There's a committee for the water and for human rights, East, and I happen to be co-chair of the Disarm and Wars Committee with two other women, one in Vermont and one in California, and I live in the mountains of North Carolina, and we do a lot of our communicating by email and telephone, but last year I went on two tours of the East Coast and the West Coast of branches and other folks like Vets for Peace and Raging Grannies, Physicians for Social Responsibility, to talk about getting rid of nuclear weapons and getting rid of nuclear everything, really. And we can talk more about that. But now this year I'm doing the eastern part of the United States thanks to a grant from Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, because I couldn't afford to do it otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And the initials for the organization would also be where you'd find the website, and that would be WILPF. Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. I will tell you this, Ellen, that the signal here is kind of fading in and out. It's very strong, and then it kind of waves in and out. So if there's a direction that you can turn that would make it more solid, that would be appreciative. And let's talk about what you're talking. When this organization was formed 102 years ago, there would not have been any understanding at all, because it didn't exist, nuclear. And you're talking about nuclear weapons and a nuclear-free future when you come to Columbia next week. It's interesting then, so that the organization adapts to things that happen that grab their attention and they need to respond to.
Well, yes. And I've actually been working on getting rid of nuclear weapons since 1984. I began a vigil in front of the White House, and I was there for 18 years, day and night. And I helped to found Proposition 1 campaign to abolish nuclear weapons. We brought a voter initiative in Washington, D.C. in 1993, which led to a bill introduced into Congress every session. Adopted by Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, just like I have. Can you still hear me?
Yes, barely. Okay. At times, but yes, yeah. It's again coming in and out. It's interesting.
I'm parked in Vienna.
It's interesting I've never talked to somebody who said that they had camped outside the White House for 18 years. That's amazing to me, because persistence that I think many people would have abandoned after 18 hours or 18 days or weeks or months, but for 18 years. What is that like, and what does that mean that you're outside the White House wanting to raise awareness and then to protest certain policies for 18 years?
Well, it's challenging, and spiritually it's very, you grow a lot, you learn a lot. constantly exposing yourself to everybody and anybody who happens to pass by. And I ended up going to prison for 3 months because they said I was camping. But we always said we weren't camping. We were maintaining a vigil. And there's a difference. We didn't cook there, you know. We didn't go to the bathroom or wash our clothes there. You know, we had helpers to relieve us when we needed to do things. But and the vigil, by the way, is still going on. I'm no longer there, although I keep an eye on it, but mm-hmm. I was 500 miles away.
Do you show, when you were doing it, or when those that are still doing it now, is it like showing up for work at certain times? I mean, I don't even know, I don't understand that, just the logistics of that.
Well, it depends on the individual. Mm. The people who started the vigil, William Thomas, I met him out there and married him in the park, and in Lafayette Park, and so we supported each other, and there was a woman named Concepcion Picciotto. She was out there for 35 years, and my husband was there until he died in 2009. He started the vigil in 1981. Mm. But there are lots of other people who helped us out. You know, they would come for a few hours or a few days or a few weeks or a few months, depending on their lifestyle and what, you know, how great their commitment was.
Let me, I'm curious as to this. It's 2017. You're going to come and you're going to speak at the Boone County Government Center here in Columbia on Tuesday, and I'll go through those details again. With the atmosphere that exists right now worldwide and in this nation, are you feeling that those who are involved in the causes and concerns that you are involved with are dispirited or revived, knowing that perhaps this is a time when people are being more organized and more energized than they have been before because of certain things that have happened political?
Oh, I don't think anybody, well, dispirited. There's a lot of people who are very unhappy that we've worked so hard for so long and it seems like it's going backwards instead of forwards. But we remember in the Reagan years, the bigger the rhetoric, the greater the concern, and people did get out into the streets. And we're getting ready for a march. It's really exciting, actually, right now, because the United Nations is considering for the first time ever, the General Assembly is coming together and negotiating a nuclear weapons ban treaty. And they are disregarding the fact that the countries that have nuclear weapons, except I might say, although it's kind of hard to believe with what's going on right now, North Korea was in favor of a nuclear weapons ban treaty, as is Iran. But they're going to be doing this June 19th through July 7th. They're meeting in New York City. So on June 17th, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom and other groups are planning a women's march to ban the bomb to the United Nations and in New York, but we're also calling for people all over the country, including Columbia, to have your own sister marches, like happened January 21st, to let the politicians know that you want them to support getting rid of nuclear weapons. And in mentioning that, I'd like to say that the Nuclear Weapons Abolition and Economic and Energy Conversion Act, which is a mouthful, I know, I like to call it the Weapons Abolition and Energy Conversion Act,
mm-hmm.
Has been introduced into Congress every session since 1994. It has not yet been introduced by Eleanor Holmes Norton from Washington, D.C., I think because she needs to get some support from some of her colleagues before she presents it this time. She's keeping an eye on what's happening in the White House and in the Congress, but she needs support, and so one of the things that I'm doing on my tour is asking people to ask their representatives to support her bill, and also to support the bill itself supports the nuclear weapons ban treaty, and also the conversion. Take the money that's being spent, which is billions and billions of dollars each year on nuclear weapons, to shut down and clean up the nuclear weapons includes nuclear power plants because they produce weapons-grade material, and to transform the other arms industries into things that are good for people. For example, take the money and pay the factory owners and to retool and retrain the workers and pay the workers to get retrained, instead of putting it into weapons, put it into carbon-free, nuclear-free energy and clean up the environment in every possible way with the money that we're currently spending on nuclear.
I think a lot of people would say, yeah, I could sleep a lot easier if I didn't think that there was nuclear weapon threat around me. But I sure don't want us to get rid of ours, knowing what North Korea is doing with theirs, or perhaps what Iran might be doing.
Well, I think that first, to start with, we come to an agreement not to develop anymore, and we start getting rid of them. There was a wonderful science fiction story that I read that I cannot remember who wrote it, but I love the story about the new society living on a new planet, looking forward to going, you know, they're pioneers and hardworking, but they get to go home to Earth, they're talking about how the Earth turned into a garden because it almost destroyed itself, and they said, well, the country that had the most nuclear weapons reduced down to the number of the country that had the second most, and then to the third most, and so on, until everybody got together, had a great big party, and got rid of the rest together. And I think we can do it. We can do it if we set our minds to it, if we don't despair, if we don't give up, if we decide. I'm an ordinary person. I started doing this when I was 37 years old, and my kids didn't need me. And I was a secretary and a paralegal, and I sold real estate, and I did, you know, this and that and the other thing. But when I realized that my purpose in life is try to make the world a safer place for my grandchildren, suddenly I was inspired. Suddenly I realized that I did have a reason for being here, and I have never, ever regretted it, ever.
People will hear more of your story when they go to the meeting that you will be speaking at, and that, again, is going to come up on this Tuesday, April 25th, 7:30 p.m. It is for anybody, free. Everyone is welcomed. If you want more information, you can contact me here at the station. It will be at the Boone County Government Center Chambers downtown in Columbia. Ellen Thomas from the organization we're talking about, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, will be there talking about the march that she mentioned earlier, nuclear weapons ban treaty, and other topics, including Eleanor Holmes Norton's bill, ban nuclear weapons and convert to renewable energy. We're out of time this time, but I hope that people who have their interest piqued and who hear what you say, especially about your story of as a normal person who realized, you know what, I need to speak out on these matters. I hope that they will pay attention and will attend and pursue this further. Again, on the website, you can just do a search for Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
You're welcome. I'd like to give one plug. It's Facebook. Go to Nuclear Free Future Tour, or NFF Tour, and I'm blogging on there, and I just this week put up three videos from Irwin, Tennessee, about the pollution in this beautiful, pristine mountain river valley. Used to be pristine, now it's poisonous from nuclear fuel services and Aerojet. Nuclear fuel services is making fuel rods for the Navy and has been for 60 years, and people are dying from cancer all up and down the river.
And that's
an interesting story. NFF Tour.
NFF Tour, a Facebook blog by Ellen Thomas. Thank you again. Have a good trip to Columbia next week.
Thank you very much.